On today's show, we talk Tour California hiatus, the squabble continues, some cyclocross. Are we going to talk about that? Maybe. Transfer market. Peter Stetnet goes gravel. Was this solely his choice or was he forced into it? Some things that make you go, some winners and losers. And what did Kurt say? All coming up on the Between Two Wheels podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Yonke. Stay tuned. Well, here we are, episode 149 of the Between Two Wheels podcast. We're going to do a little bit of cycling news once again. And then in the next few episodes, I've got two great interviews lined up. I'm pretty excited about both of them. Should I tell you who they are? Maybe we'll tease that out. We're getting Mike Sayers in here. He's going to talk about the end of the cycling season. He was involved heavily with the USA Cycling for the Tour of California, also for, I think, the junior and the U23 team. Doing worlds, being over in Europe for quite a bit. So we're going to talk about that. Also just get his input on everything else, kind of do a recap of the season. We also have Dr. Jason Braley coming in. He is the current doctor for the Sacramento Kings basketball team. He also used to be the doctor for Kenda five-hour energy pro cycling team. He's done the concussion protocol stuff for the USA Cycling. Pretty cool info. And I think I've been trying to get him in all year. We finally have it scheduled down. I'm actually really excited about both of those. So look forward to that. And we'll see what's coming up. What did Kurt say? Kurt and Chris, come on. These two guys, we went riding last night. I don't know what it takes to get them back in here on the podcast, but I'm revamping a bunch of stuff, some new equipment. I'm getting more stuff coming. I think we're going to be able to make online as far as connecting up with them via Skype or some other method, pretty slick. So if they don't start making a show and their entrance in here, maybe we'll start taking auditions. Did I just say that out there? Also, we have, if you look at my shirt today, Kinetic Cycle Cycles in Sacramento. Just kind of giving them a shout out for no other reason that I wore the shirt. If you have a shop, you have some brands, you have some product you want to push, send it my way. Maybe send me a t-shirt. That's all it takes. They didn't do anything special other than Bruce has been really nice to me. So Chris and Kurt, we did a ride last night. We smashed it. It is painful this time of year, but I'm looking forward to my weight loss. Okay. Tour of California. I got some good info from a few people and some articles. And one of them I kind of want to talk about here is this one from Bicycling Mag. Now, John Simmons had sent me some stuff. He sent me some pretty good info. So I'm going to break this down, go through it, and just kind of give an idea. So last episode, we discussed and we speculated on why the Tour of California was put on hiatus for 2020. A summary of my takes is as follows. If you listen to the last episode, it's pretty evident what I said. No. AB Assembly Bill 467 was not to blame for this situation. That was my understanding. That was my conclusions. Went over what AB 467, if you've seen that, it's that equal pay, equal play bill, which basically says, and there's still some gray area along there, but if you're putting in a gendered event and you have a cash prize in one, you've got to offer the same for both men and women. That's just the whole thing. Tour California was already doing that. Their budget's huge. The prize list is not to the point where it's going to be a determining factor for any kind of issue. So that was not the issue. But there was speculation, partly because when the bill was presented, there was about equal access to the roads, equal time, and that would have likely been a much bigger deal because now you're putting, instead of a women's race, maybe 3 days and using similar roads or different roads, now you've got to coordinate two separate races, two separate events, two different roads, a lot more closure. That infrastructure would be a higher cost, but that wasn't part of the bill. So unless Tour California was really concerned about that, that was not going to be an issue. Okay. State of California is a crap heap and costs associated with running this race are just too much. That was another one of my conclusions, which I still say it's legit. And no, women's racing isn't oppressive or comparable to slavery. That was also one of my conclusions, partly because you've got consent, self-ownership. You don't have to be a cyclist. No one's forcing you into doing this. Now there was just a story out about a young runner that was supposed to be the next great thing. And I've only read the headlines and some tweets about it. And she said, I joined up with Nike and it basically ruined my life. And now I think she was also a minor. So you have some other things there and coaching going wrong. And, you know, but we've seen that with the Olympic gymnastics with the coaches, abuse and those kind of things. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about grown ass people willingly, voluntarily using, you know, cycling as their job. And so that's the issue we're talking about. Okay. With that, I was given an article by Bicycling Magazine, like I said, from John Simmons on our Facebook page. The article was titled, "No, Gender Equity Didn't Kill the Tour of California." Okay. And I'm just going to go over some of this, and then I've got little parts to quibble with on it. While the article does a good job, and it reports the collapse of the Tour of California, and it makes a good effort to show that AB 467 wasn't to blame. The article did have some glaring blank spots in it. Namely, the article isn't short. It's got a lot of inquiries with lawmakers. The AEG and Catherine, I think her name is Catherine Bertine. But it dismisses even questioning this. As a matter of fact, let's just go on to read some of what it said here. AEG's statement didn't exactly help dispel the notion. Race president Kristen Klein cited changing business fundamentals as a reason for the suspension. Quote, "This new reality has forced us to reevaluate our options," Klein said in part. "It's easy to link new reality to AB 467. That was on the original thing. Yeah, look, that's what I said. The original statement, it was easy to link these two because you're like, new realities. This is a new law. It's the only one that anyone really knows about. What's going on? Joe Lindsay continues. "That's fantastically convenient through line if you're looking for a simple explanation, except, well, there isn't one. And the claim that gender equity somehow killed the Tour of California is, to put it mildly, specious, misogynistic bullshit." Do I need to edit that or bleep that? Now, let me go right back, because that's the part I have a problem with. He does an entire article here. First of all, he says, if you question this, you're a bullshitting misogynist and you're specious. You have no basis for even doing that. But his line above that said, "This new reality has forced us to reevaluate our options," Klein said in part. And then his thing was, it's easy to link new reality to 467. It's easy to link 467 to this new reality, quote, in the statement. But if you do so, remember, it's easy, but if you do so, that's specious, misogynistic bullshit. Okay, so if it's specious, misogynistic bullshit, are we going to do an entire, you know, long article on it? Are you going to invest time and effort? No, because it's specious. You don't even have to do any kind of rebuttal. But he does. So maybe he's the specious, misogynistic bullshitter. And I only have an issue with this because if everyone is that misogynistic, I don't believe that's the case. The statement itself was somewhat ambiguous. So you had no choice to do. He did an article. So it's just, I think it's disingenuous, and it's his maybe virtual signaling, trying to say, "Look, I'm so above this. Now let me show you why." And then he does a great job of breaking everything down, and going through the lawmakers, the bill itself, why this isn't the case, the actual financial difficulty and problems that AEG is in, I mean, a world of legitimate reasons as to why. But like I said, the AEG, the original statement, new reality, it was an easy conclusion to make, but someone needed to do it. But I don't think you need to do name calling. Is that such a problem? Anyway, misogynistic bullshit. To go on, he says, this is ridiculous. First, the comment that the statement itself, well, this is my comment, actually. It's vague. The first comment in the statement itself didn't exactly help dispel the notion. That's exactly what it was. He said it didn't help dispel this. Then Joel Lindsay decides that the claim that the gender equity show killed the Tour of California, to put it mildly, specious, misogynistic bullshit. As I state here, the problem is later on, he writes, and if the men's race lost money, so did the women's. A looming UCI requirement for 2020 that promoters offer live broadcast or streaming coverage of women's world tour events was another possible point of financial stress. Yeah, but it links both the men and the women. So you're not misogynistic to wonder if that's the case. Why is Colorado, why did they only put on a women's race? Because some of the new reality might be that it's too difficult to put on both. This could be not. So why is it okay to question the economic outcome of one law requiring gender equity and not the other? So you get that? the UCI is requiring both men's and women's to be broadcast and put on and supported and financed by the promoter. That's okay to question that as maybe a financial reason. It's not misogynistic to do so, because he says that one's okay, but it is to do the gender one that essentially affects it just as much. And maybe neither one are have to do that, but there's nothing wrong with questioning the outcome of the economic outcomes of things you put into reality. Okay. Let's just go on. In fact, the law can have both an economic consequence, and just ignoring it because you don't like the forced outcome is short-sighted, is what I would say. In fact, the most telling line in the article is by Catherine Bertin, the pro racer, filmmaker, and activist who helped push the AB 467. And this is really the, maybe this goes back to the cotton question, economics of slavery. Cause here's the reality of this whole situation. We're not really into it for, pushing that the growing the sport of cycling, because if you grow the sport of cycling, women's cycling, men's cycling, it's all going to take off. But here's the true reality. What if it did? I asked Bertin. What if AB 460, this is back to Joe Lindsay in his article on Bicycling Magazine. What if it did? I asked Bertin. What if AB 467 inadvertently caused the demise of both events? Quote, I certainly hope not, she said. But if AEG is deciding to fold the race because they don't want to put the work into creating an equal playing field, we have to say good riddance to such thinking and move on and build a race that does. Only thing I can say, wow. So you're willing to destroy it because they're not thinking correctly. And look, maybe the thinking is simply the economic, the company AEG, for whatever they are, you're not going to get sponsors if how do you pitch this? Hey, we've got a woke reality that we really want to push. You're going to lose a lot of money from this. You're going to, maybe you'll go bankrupt, but your thinking will be well reasoned, and we will like you for that. That's not the reality of the world. So I'm not saying women's race. So the women's race in Colorado, let's hope that it takes off. What if it becomes a big thing like Oride used to be in Idaho for the women's only? And maybe they pass a law that says they have to have equal men as well. Time or payment for that. So that race is maybe going to go out because now they have wrong thinking that they're doing women's only, but maybe the women's only is the justifiable event. Maybe that's the one. It's perfectly fine. Why do we have to always glom on? And you know, I've said this and I go back to this in day one. I really enjoy women's sports of differing ones. Right? I enjoy different women's sports than I do men's sports. Love women's cycling though. But I don't care to, when I'm watching one, I don't necessarily care to watch the other. That was what was cool about the Colorado Classic was it was just the women racing. I didn't have to mix up between the two. And maybe that's just an attention level thing. Tour de France, I do not care too much about what's going on. This is the sucky part. The women's Giro is going on at the same time as the men's Tour de France. I want to watch the women's Giro, but I'm having trouble spending so much time being inundated by the tour that I can't spend my time to do that. So it would be best if we can grow the two separately and they could stand on their own. I mean, that's really the way it is. Because they're different games. They really are. There's a lot that's similar, but different games. Now, I go back and I'm going to call out, I've maybe said this in private a few times, but I interviewed Dave Toll at the Tour of California a few years ago. He told me outright, because we were talking about the women's race and trying to project this up there, he said a few things. One is it's tough for the crowds to get real excited when they have the Europeans come over and they start to dominate. No one really knows who these are. The crowds don't get as involved. And he said you just see participation from the cheering, the fan level drop. I think that's true. So when Katie Hall was winning, it was a much bigger deal. And that was kind of his point of time. He also mentioned to me, and I imagine he would have more insight than I do, is that the women's racing just doesn't bring any money. He's like, if you would force the women's side to bring money to the sport, to the race, they come in, they're like, okay, we're part of the race, but they don't bring any of the sponsorship. That's really, then it's a tough haul. Maybe that's what their new reality is. And why is that? I think that just goes back to an interest level of who are you glomming on, who are your fans, and who's paying the money. Look, I think it's good for businesses to be involved in women's sports, and you get that, you know, depending on what it is. Maybe it's not so much women's sports as it is just cycling in general. And, you know, that might be the actual true reality. So why not get to the root of the problem in all this instead of forcing the end result? Because that's really what this is all about. It's like, how do we make the outcome equal? But maybe you need to go step back and really look at where are we at as in the sport. We're going to talk next year about Peter Stetina going to gravel. And does that mean, you know, there's kind of a demise in the world tour? I mean, our cycling and local stuff's going down. I think it goes back to how do you breed this sport and how do you make it so the end result, you know, there's all kinds of things we're talking about in the world. College tuition's high. Okay, so do we go to the end and just say everyone doesn't pay college tuition, or do we go back and we figure out why is it so expensive? Healthcare, anything you want to do, you can talk about, you can fix the very end, and all you're doing is putting a Band-Aid, or you're trying to have this outcome the same. But if you want to actually understand the underlying and maybe fix something, it goes back to what is causing that problem. So maybe we need to have, why are the women's cycling not getting paid the same? Why is there not an interest? Because it's all market driven. We are, in this country especially, you know, we talked about Vodder saying that, you know, we're going to have to get private dollars. Yes. So why are the private dollars not going to the women, but they are to the men? They do for some women's sports, beach volleyball. That's the, look, I love volleyball. So I watch that for just the sports aspect of it. But anyway, I like your input on this. And I really think Joel Lindsay does himself a big disservice with this article by calling it misogynistic, specious misogynistic bullshit to question that. And you know what? He would have had me if it wasn't for that. But he says that, and it just, I'm like, what are you doing? Because you actually wrote a great article. Maybe you are the misogynistic bullshitter by writing the article itself, because you're just playing into that patriarchy of the misogynist. All right, let's move on. The transfer market. Do we want to talk about that? Well, you know, there's a few teams, a few things. Let me just go over details here. Cycling News kind of had a transfer guide, few teams. I was going to just see if we had, we'll go through each team and just kind of mention a few of the people that are out. AG2R, Sammy Dumoulin. No one really big there. They extended with Tony Gallopin, I think. You had the American is still with them. What's his name? Why am I losing track of names here? Former U.S. pro. It'll come to me. Astana, they're losing Magnus Cort Nielsen to EF Education First. That was a big one. Jan Hurt and Pello Bilbao to Bahrain. They extended with Fuglsang. No one else really of interest. Bahrain, we know about that. Mikel Landa comes in there. You know, Astana, who'd they sign that was new? Davide Martinelli from Decoin to Quickstep. Okay, no one big there. AG2R, we'll go back up here because it shows about their signings. Larry Warbass is who I was thinking of. So no big cool signings for the AG2R. out. It was Vicenzo Nibali at Bahrain. Antonio Nibali, of course, those two are tied at the hip. Extended with Mahorik, Bahrain Merida. Did they get any big signings? Not that it looks like. Team Illuminates, Martin Loss goes to Bora. Interesting. Out was Peter Kennick. I think he retired. Davide Formula goes to UAE. UAE is building up their climbing team there. Christoph Fingsens to Jumbo Visma. And it didn't look like anybody extended. Team CCC, Matteo Trentin, George Zimmerman. Ilnur Zakarin, interesting. No one else. I look outs. Lawrence Tendam, he retired, and no one else of interest. In on Decoin to Quickstep, a bunch of them. Who do we know that's really interesting? We just mentioned Davide Martinelli and Ian Garrison from Huggins Berman. We mentioned him. We've talked about him before. Out, Ilya Viviani, Henrik Maas, Max Riccese, Gilbert, Eros Capecchi to Bahrain. Extended. So they kept Julian Alaphilippe, Zdenek Stibar, James Knox. He did almost top 10 in the Giro, the British rider, little guy. Remco Evenepoel extended through 2023. Interesting there. Dimension Data. They brought in Kampernitz, brought in Max Walshied, out, Renshaw retires. Lars Back retires. Jacques Van Rensburg retires. Scott Davies goes to Bahrain. Julian Mort to Vermont to Cofidis. Cavendish to Bahrain. That's what we talked about before. Extended. Gasparotto, Ben King, Ryan Gibbons, Nicholas Demani, Jay Robert. Anyway, some of those. Let's talk about EF. New riders for EF. Well, we know Magnus Cort Nielsen. We just mentioned him. Sergio Higuita. But now that was kind of a mid-season thing. So now I think it's official. Nelson Paulus, because he had been with Higuita, had rode with them and did well in the Vuelta. Nelson Paulus, Halvorsen from Ineos, Kukaler from Lotto Soudal, Ruben Guerrero from Katusha Alpecin, out, Matty Breschel, Joe Dombrowski, Dan McClay, Taylor Finney. They did not mention, and Logan Owen extended, they did not mention Nate Brown, but we know where he went. Not really caring. George Preidler is out from Groupama FDJ. Didn't he have a drug thing? Contract terminated. Okay, well, there you go. Morbido retires. Team Ineos, Carapaz. That's the big one. Out. Let's just talk about outs because we pretty much know who else. Kenny Elizondo is out. Halvorsen's out. De La Cruz goes to UAE and Diego Rosa to Arkea Samsic. Jumbo Visma, Dumoulin comes in. He's the only real big signer that's coming into them. Out, we know about Van Poppel, Paulsen, and then everyone else is extending. Katusha Alpecin folding. Lotto Soudal, they bring in Gilbert, Degenkolb. Out, Tish Benoot to Sunweb. Okay. Victor Kampenaerts, we mentioned him to Dimension Data. Adam Blythe retires. Mitchelton Scott. They bring in Alexander Konachev from Dimension. Oh, that must be from Dimension Data. There's really Zeitz comes up from Astana. No one real big there. Out with Mateo Trentin. So they pretty much have their solid team. Movistar. So this is going to be a big shakeup. They got a bunch in Onik Mas, Inigo Elosegui from Lizart. I don't even know who that is. Dario Cataldo, Davide Villela. Mattel Jorgensen out is, we know that, Landa, Quintana, Carapaz, Valls, Fernandez. Interesting. Let's go to, maybe we'll save the rest. Oh, here, let's just finish some of these off. Sunweb coming in. They have a bunch of guys, Tish Benoot, Neil Zikoff. No real big names that I can see coming in. Out, we know who, about Dumoulin, extended, Michael Matthews, Storer, Tuchfeld, Trek. They're bringing in Nibali, Quarterman, and Kelly Alessandre, out, Bjarnason Pantano, drug suspension, terminated his contract, Irizar, Degenkolb, Gogol, Feline, those are all gone. And then some extended ones. And lastly on this one we'll do is UAE, Brandon McNulty, Mikael Berg. So from Mahagans Berman and the Rally UHC, those two go up. Riquezzi comes in from Dequena Quickstep, Davide Formula from Bora, Joe Dombrowski from EF, and De La Cruz from Ineos. Some real good standout climbers coming in there. So pretty cool for that. Out is Dan Martin, goes to Israel Cycling. Roy Sutherland to Israel. Look, extended Pogačar. That's good. He goes up to 2023. Wow, that's pretty good. Rui Costa, he's still racing. Look, you've got, I heard Israel Cycling Academy, Arkea Samsic. I don't think they made the cut on World Tour. So they're going to get just like an intermediate. Well, maybe we'll talk to Sayer, see if he knows anything about this. But there's like an intermediate level to getting not automatic bids to the World Tour, but you kind of get them, so you'll probably see them, Arkea Samsic and Israel Cycling Academy, at least for some of the Grand Tours, especially with the riders that they brought in. I think there's also one for the Classics section. So it'll be interesting to see which teams make which. Caja Rural, some of these that always make the, you know, either the Giro or the Euskadi team and the Vuelta. So Higuita Berman, They don't really show much here. Israel Cycling Academy. Maybe we'll go see some of these rally. Let's just do rally. Nicholas Zukowski from Floyd's. I think Floyd's went out this year. Stephen Bissett from Generation Wildlife. I think he was second at Nationals. Nationals. Yeah, out McNulty, Sven Tuft retires, and Evan Huff retires too. All right, well, that's kind of the transfer market. Cyclocross, Matthew Vanderpoel won again. I probably need to get back into this so I can report on it a little bit better. Also, they had race number 4 in Sacramento here this last weekend at Lemby Park. I was busy, did a ride, so in a baseball game, my son does travel ball. So I did not get to go and watch and report from there. We'll try to give some updates on that. Vanderpoel looks like he's just destroying. And I think he's going to start winding up his road season or winding up for it. He's going to have probably more involved with that this year. So that will be interesting. Look, Venner, let's hope that I don't think he's doing cross right now because I think he's still struggling from his injuries. So he's kind of still out on that. Okay, let's go to Peter Stetina. Peter Stetina, 32, American pro with Trek Segafredo, announced this week he is moving away from the world tour. And it's going full-time as a gravel adventure rider instead. Okay, what did he have? He was best young rider in the 2012 Giro. He had a horrible crash at the 2015 Vuelta Ciclista al País Vasco. It's a pretty cool climbing race there. He hit like a bollard that was in the middle of the road. They came around a corner, and people were kind of splitting, and he hit it head-on, just destroyed his leg. But, you know, he finished, and that was in 2015. I think he rode the tour the next year. So, you know, he was with BMC, I believe, at the time. Finished 35th in the 2014 tour. TJ was fifth that year. And TJ also got the best young rider's jersey. Just go through some of the teams he's been on. Started out 2006 with TIAA Kraft. That's Vodder's old team that turned into Slipstream. So he was with them in 2017. Then Garmin Transitions. Remember that? They had those sunglasses that changed, or the regular indoor prescription glasses that changed into sunglasses. 11 was with Garmin Cervelo. 12 was Garmin Barracuda. 13 was Garmin Sharp. And then he went to BMC for 2 years, 14 and 15. And then 16 through 19, he's been with Trek Segafredo. So let me just talk about this real quick. Here's kind of his announcement. It's been a really fun year, you know, Stetina told Cycling News last month. I've had more fun this year than I've had the last few years, for sure. Just having a nice level, a good fitness all year, doing some of those adventure races, having a good Vuelta. Yeah, it's been a nice season. Gravel is kind of a new excitement in the US scene. I grew up on a mountain bike, and I've always ridden off-road and a bit of training and off-season, so it's been quite an easy choice for me to hop onto those and just experience the community of cycling. And on Instagram, he put himself, ultimately, this is a move of freshness, joy, progression, and longevity. This is not a retirement as some traditionalists would think, he wrote. Rather, I am throwing my entire self into the burgeoning world of gravel racing, both capitalized, and being a bike racer across all tire widths. Okay. While the initial steps of to leave the world tour behind was scary, I am certain this is the right choice. It will be more fulfilling, and I hope more successful. I love the vibe of these races, the solo battles within and with others. Sounds like cyclocross. But the communal celebrations afterwards, knowing all we have conquered and odyssey individually and together. I will represent brands who value this, and I want to immerse myself in this world. This is my happy place. Okay, so his happy place is on the bike, on gravel, unlike Taylor Finney, who's music and dope. I'm just kidding. Maybe marijuana. And singing, just a little different experience. Okay, question of the day then is: was Peter forced out of the world tour, or was this decision all of his own making? Well, according to Stetina, this was his first option would be to race the world tour, but only if he could continue with his budding parallel universe. Managers wanted Stetina, the world tour road racer. They were not interested in his moonlighting gig. I think this is from Velo News. When I was talking to teams for a new contract, a stipulation that I had is what I wanted to do gravel on the side, Peter Stetina said. It makes sense for a lot of sponsors, but for the Euro managers, we didn't see eye to eye. The main issue was that their responsibility is to win road races, and the Eurocentric sponsorship model made it difficult for them to justify the gravel side gig. I flew flat out a few flat out thought I wasn't committed anymore, despite me having a long and strong road season culminating in a great Volta and Guangxi. And I had big success in gravel. He still did a lot of races, by the way, this year. Some people are going to say, oh, he wasn't good enough to make the World Tour contract. I will wholeheartedly disagree with that. Look at my 2019 season, Stenna said. It came down to a choice of lifestyle between following the smooth highway or jumping onto the fun, unknown, bumpy trail next to it. I am over the hill by any means. Well, he doesn't say he had contract offers. You know, I know 2019, it was quite late. He got his contract with Trek, so I don't know if there was a step down in money anyway. But he was having a hard time. He's supposed to be on the tour team that year. I think he's supposed to be on the Vuelta. I think he got kicked out, or he didn't do those. So it was a little bit. So he doesn't say he actually had a contract in hand, or that someone had offered it to him. And maybe he's saying, in the negotiations, I wasn't willing to even offer that I would only do roads. So therefore the contract wasn't forthcoming, but it would have been if I would have said that. I don't know. I tend to think from what he's saying here, he likely could have been racing somewhere. Even, I mean, for him, some team would likely have him. He climbs really well. So, you know, he wouldn't be a total loss. So, you know, he would have been an asset for some team, you'd think, but they're weighing everything all together and just not going to happen. Sponsorship. So according to Velo News, for 2020, Stenna will have important backers, including high profile sponsors like Canyon, Sportful, and Cliff Bar. But when the rubber hits the gravel, it will be against him, against the wind. Oh, geez. Come on, Andrew Hood. In terms of marketing for companies, we're seeing the whole U.S. worldwide markets shifting that way. Stenna said, the gravel scene is just booming and it gave me confidence the time is right. Okay, so there's some sense of this newness, you know, this whole big thing. And he says, look, the sponsor model is going to be a bit different. Luckily, I am partnering with companies to see the value in what I'm doing. I am confident how it's going to work out, both on and off the bike. My partners and I have a plan. We'll radicalize the traditional sponsored pro format, and we'll think ultimately will be fulfilling both personally and for the industry. Well, I don't think you're revolutionizing it, because what you're really doing is you're going back to the mountain bike. That's really what mountain biking is. It's not so much team. It's individual sponsorship, and you get on a team, but it's pretty much, you know, you're individual. It's more like golf. It's more like triathlons, Andrew Tilansky. So I don't know if you're revolutionizing it. You're just using it in a different way for cycling itself. So I don't know. I'm all the best for him. To me, it sounds like, and then I saw him posting something about doing some gravel races. Hey, did they have any over there in Italy? So maybe it's just, look, lifestyle, you're on the road. It's got to be a rough life to do that away from your family. It sounds like that's what you wanted to be, was back here in California, a little more in the US, easier travel, better lifestyle. Good for you. I hope it works out. Maybe we'll see you around and we can interview for the podcast. So what does it say about World Tour cycling? And what does it say about American cycling? You know, he said he was very disappointed in the Tour of California going away. Does it say anything, or is this just a guy who's getting older and wanted more time with his wife and his home country? I don't know. So why don't you give me your input on what you think about Stenna taking off? How about some things that make you go, hmm? Things that make you go, hmm. All right. Well, I saw two quick items here. One is George Bennett of New Zealand, rides for Jumbo Visma. He got three ribs removed. I know he had had some issues, and he had talked about that. So he had also had a tweet about that. But let's just say what it has to say about his. No, I don't have it here. But anyway, he got three ribs removed. He said he'd answer some quick questions. One was it was necessary for breathing or something like that. And no, I can't. If you don't know what that means, just check out Marilyn Manson. And evidently, I don't know, maybe you tried. Speaking of removing body parts, though, trans athlete Rachel McKenna is back in the news. And are we going to talk about this? But UCI responds that the athletics committee firms up new rules for transgendered athletes. This comes from Cycling Weekly. And I will look at that to see what the new rules are when they get actually affirmed. But it looks like they're trying to tighten those up. For whatever reasons, I don't know if it's because of her, but you know, look, they're saying trans athletes have been allowed to compete in the Olympics since 2004, but under the requirement they had undergone gender confirmation surgery and were on hormone therapy for 2 years. In 2015, these rules were relaxed to remove the need for surgery, and the athletes must have a testosterone level. Anyway, they talk about that. Do we need to still keep going into that? I mean, because there's something about, you know, going through puberty, getting years and years of testosterone going through your system. Still, interesting. Okay, let's go to the mailbag. Maybe you want to talk about that as well. Mailbag. Jason Grafath points out here, thanks for continuing the sports gender equity topic. It's a potential firestorm of comments. One point that I think was missed from the discussion was that some people immediately assume that the fight for gender equity was the primary reason for the cancellation of Tour California. Let's stop finger pointing, and work constructively to solve the problem. Bike racing at all levels of the United States is struggling to survive. To quote Jurassic 5, really? You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. Yeah, no, I agree there. And then it's always to varying degrees. What do you do? I don't think it's wrong to question why the race was going out. The finger pointing, sure. So let's dig in. That's what I did. This one was a pretty simple analysis. You look at the actual law. You look at what the state of the Tour of California was for prize money last year, and you go, I doubt it had anything to do with it. Then you look at Joel Lindsay's misogynistic take on it, and bullshit take, specious one, and you realize he lays out the facts there too, in more detail about the finances, and he talks about how the actual prize money, what the portion, you know, that's not what the cost is. The cost is renting the, I know when we've done these before, you have to, you know, pay the police to shut down the roads. They charge, I think, overtime for that. So it's like an expensive haul you're doing to shutting down the roads as it is. So yeah, we said that wasn't the problem. Am I part of the solution? I don't know. I kind of like to be part of the problem. He put another thing, is one suggestion for later discussion. How does everyone feel about Greg LeMond getting a congressional medal, gold medal? Well, I think it was a congressional medal of honor. It's awesome for cycling, but it seems a little dated and oddly timed for this to happen. See if you can get Lance on the podcast to give his opinion. Not going to happen. I won't ask him because I don't want to be shamed for hanging out with a doper. And the reality is he won't come on my podcast. But talk about Greg LeMond, congressional medal winner from Forbes Online. American cyclist Greg LeMond is to be awarded the congressional gold medal. It is the congressional gold medal. My apologies to you, Jason. This is one of North America's two highest civilian honors, with the other being the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The House of Representatives passed a vote on the award September 19, following the bipartisan bill's submission by California Congressman Mike Thompson, a Democrat. President Trump may remember that LeMond was one of those who competed in his Tour de Trump in 89, a 10-day, 927-mile pro stage race on the East Coast, which finished just outside Trump Casino in Atlantic City. And then you got to say this, of course, because you can't just let it stand. The casino was later bankrupt. Was that really a big issue? Mr. Trump's casino business was a protracted failure. Once again, you can't just do a story about, and I don't really give an F either way, but once again, it's just, you got to just chip yourself into the news in such weird ways. I don't care about that. I just want to, yes, we know. We know about Trump. LeMond finished way down in the rankings at the race then and now, and it was considered a bit of a joke. But his victory in the 1989 Tour de France is stuff of legends. Okay. Dude, whatever. He got is it the two highest civilian honors? I don't know. Father of the Year might be more coveted. So anyway, that was interesting. I remember an interview, I think it was on the cycling podcast I did with Greg LeMond. They were talking about the Tour de Trump, and LeMond was really, as a lot of people are, really negative about Trump himself. I think there were some weird interactions with him. He did not have some nice things to say. So maybe he's going to, but we'll see if he does the thing and boycotts the ceremony at the White House, if Trump does it and they want to do that. I think that whole thing came about from the Thompson, the Democratic representative in California, reading a new book about Greg LeMond that just came out. I'm trying to remember what its name was, but I don't know. Critical Mile, in my opinion, Kittle remarks of being free. So he talks about Kittle, that he's being free. Look, we all get tied down, he says, and it's not necessarily slavery, but maybe he has this. Kittle will grow up one day and realize we are all slaves to something or someone that works. Sorry if my English is bad writing. This is not my first language. Hey, appreciate your input. He also put, I heard that a pro race in another state of the United States on the East Coast. Have you heard of that, Tyler? I think I mentioned all of them. So we have Tour Missouri, nothing out there now. There's no big races going on that you would consider even close to the Tour of California. Like I said, there used to be the Tour de Trump. It was, what was it called? Tour de Pont before that. It's the same race though. Tour Missouri was out there for a while. We had the Tour of Georgia, but there's really nothing big like that. We used to have Super Week, which was actually a month long of racing. Back to a comment from a few weeks ago, someone said Matthew Riccatello, and I said, who is this? And I didn't know. My apologies. Matthew was a rider on the junior team with Quinn Simmons that won the gold medal. I realized that later. We will keep an eye on him. That kid was a beast all day. And sorry I didn't recognize the name in the mailbag section from before. How about some winners and losers before we hit the road here? Ghana, it's an Italian, I think. He just set a new record for the, I think it was the Omnium or the World Pursuit. And I don't know much about that. So I need to talk to someone who knows, maybe, you know, maybe some of those out there in the Bay that did track, maybe Jeremy Cadell, you want to chime in on how significant this record was. I know he beat Lambie, who had American, who had set the record last year. And everyone's amazed. He's like, what? This mustache wearing gravel rider all of a sudden comes out and blasts this record. Yes, he did. Well, anyway, this guy Ghana just destroyed that, I believe. And I don't know much about it. So maybe Jeremy or Nolan or some of the other guys that do track want to give some comments on that and tell me how significant that was. Any losers? You know what? We're not going to have any losers this week except for those who did not participate in the show that were asked to come into the podcast studio this week. Any of those that didn't get to get a new contract for the year, we'll have to go through that and see who got left out. You know, there's always ones that just did not make it, that make the cut. I'm reading right now Jonathan Vodder's new book. Pretty good. One thing I really enjoy about it for me is having been in Colorado from, what was it, 95 through 2000, 2001, somewhere in there, 94, 95. Anyway. And racing with him, racing with all these guys he's mentioning, growing up watching these guys. So it's pretty cool for me, you know, understanding that all the racing and riding he's talking about, Chatfield Reservoir out in Denver and riding up in Boulder, all the stuff that I would have done out there. So it's bringing back a lot of good memories. And is there any chance I could get him on the podcast? Probably not. I don't even know if he'd remember me. But maybe we'll reach out to him just nonetheless. You know, I'm taking this in the aspect similar to what I did with Phil Guymon's book. You know, I started out Phil Guymon's book and he mentions, do I have to go through the problems? But when he immediately starts out with a fact and I know it's wrong and I look at it, I'm like, oh, that's completely wrong. Let me start to wonder about all your other things. So then, you know, he's totally wrong on his own placings and races that you can look up. He's wrong about different things that you can watch on video. He made up stuff about the Schleck brothers outright. They were never at the Tour of Utah that year or the Tour Colorado. Anyway, my point is you see these things, you start to, so I'm kind of taking the same perspective from Vodder so far. Your statistics and your stuff are spot on. So I haven't found any glaring mistakes, but then again, you're not kind of putting a lot of, should I say specious arguments in other people's mouths. All right. Everybody, once again, thanks for joining us. Look, if you ever watch this on YouTube, we're on the YouTubes. If you ever watch other people's stuff, I saw some commentary. You know, just look, we rattle off for 40-some minutes here. There's no editing. There's no clipping back together. We don't take little things out. It's what it is. It's raw. We put the feed directly out to you. This is the talent and the commentary and the research we have on this show. So I hope you've enjoyed it. If not, you can still make some comments. Check out our show. Maybe there's someone out there. I'm sorry I'm saying this at the end because it might be something significant. Someone's really talented and they want to share the show. Maybe you do it in like a Reddit forum on cycling. You say, hey, here's a show about, you know, whatever we're talking about. Maybe you can cut it up or you can just share it out there, get it out. Because we're really looking for getting the show spread around and getting more. The more we do that, the more I'm going to bring people in. We're going to talk to them and just try to spread the word and the commentary. And you know, my favorite part, I mentioned this many times when it's going to be the next few episodes, some interviews. So I hope you guys enjoy that too. So stay seated and be looking for those out on YouTube and the podcast. Once again, Between Two Wheels, B2W_podcast for Instagram and Twitter, TJanke, TJANKE at Twitter is my personal one. You can find us on Facebook, Between Two Wheels Podcast, anywhere else the podcasts are presented. I hope you enjoy it. Once again, thanks for listening, especially my partners on the show, Chris and Kurt. They will be in here at some point. And until next time, enjoy.